And you are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Gunashchish for being here with us today. Well, the University of Alaska Southeast has a number of those only in Alaska courses, like its outdoor studies program, where students learn critical outdoor and leadership skills that can be applied to all kinds of careers like guiding, tourism, environmental protection. And joining us now to talk about that, as well as a recent kayak expedition that he led his students on, Forrest Wagner, Assistant Professor of Outdoor Studies, and he's also the chair of the Humanities Department. And we are talking to him from Naknek in Bristol Bay. So what takes you to Bristol Bay?
Hi, Rhonda. Can you hear me okay? I'm on the Zoom here, and the cell phone is only 3G.
Ah, okay. I hear you. What I had asked you was, what brings you to Bristol Bay?
Oh, I participate in the commercial salmon fishery here, and I'm spending about a week this May getting my fishing boat ready. I had a few projects. It's nice to come for a week in May before everyone gets here and do things like that. So I'm working on my transmission. I'm working on a new fly bridge and had a few hydraulic banks I'm replacing, just kind of preventive maintenance stuff.
Well, those are always good things to do, no matter whether you're fishing or on a wilderness expedition. And, you know, one of the things I think about Naknek that is so fascinating is that once the fishing season hits, the town swells from 500 people to several thousand easily. Do you find that amazing?
I do. And I live on my boat here in one of the boat yards, but I really like Naknek and I try and support the local infrastructure as much as possible. It's a great, great privilege to work from here. And it is amazing in just a matter of weeks how busy and populated this place becomes. And it's like two different places. It's actually like Juneau with tourism in the summer. Maybe not quite the same scale, but yeah, equally as busy feeling.
Right. The local economy kind of gets taken over with people from outside. And just, you know, one quick thing before we move on to talk about the outdoor program is we've currently got an exhibit at the State Museum on canneries, and it's actually based on quite a bit on the cannery that's in South Naknek. Have you been over to the other side to check that cannery out?
I have, just a little bit. Yeah.
Well, it's
which one is featured? Diamond V or?
I think I'm not sure which one. I want to say Diamond NN Cannery, but I you know, all of the, there's so many canneries that are diamonds with letters of the alphabet, but you know, they brought a lot of the equipment that was at that cannery that you're very close to, that old deserted ghost town of a cannery, here to the State Museum. And I haven't had a chance to go over and look at that exhibit, but I hear it's really good.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning it. I'll also check it out. I haven't seen it either. We went as a class in February, but I haven't been in since.
So you have gone from fishing to an adventure on kayaks here in this region. So can you tell us a little bit about this expedition? And it was a part of a course, part of a program that involves a series of expeditions for the students. So that must have been amazing. Did you have amazing weather for this?
Well, we did actually have a mix of weather. It was mostly really sunny, but of course, really sunny in Southeast Alaska also means really windy on the water. Just for context, this was the Outdoor Studies 245 Expedition Capstone, and a major requirement for students in our various degrees. We have a certificate, which is a 30-credit one-year degree, and then we have emphasis areas in two different four-year degrees, the BA side of the program on the environment and the BLA in Outdoor Adventure Studies. And then we also have a minor in Outdoor and Adventure Studies. So this expedition was the first of two that four-year students do after progression of day and then multi-day, multi-overnight fall spring coursework. It normally happens in May. Sometimes the second expedition happens over winter break or in August. And yeah, we took the ferry from Juneau immediately after graduation, May 1st, and launched from Bartlett Cove May 2nd, paddled up to Muir Point and the mouth of Adams Inlet on the east arm of Glacier Bay. And that was our high point. Along the way, we saw many marine and terrestrial animals, including some really large, large brown bears just out of the den. The sun came out after about 3 days of pretty steady rain. And the section we were at, the Sandy Cove section, as we were working our way north, was covered in black bears eating fresh greens. It's a very cliffy part of the paddle. And I kid you not, Rhonda, we saw a black bear way up a waterfall in a kind of fifth class environment, climbing around, like fully outstretched. It was really something to see. And then we turned around and paddled back to Bartlett Cove. So we did an out and back over 9 days, about 80 miles, and had lots of sun, but also lots of wind and lots of rain, some 3-foot waves at one point. And we were challenged at times by where to camp, where to find water. Wasn't quite as much snow as we maybe thought there would be. I think there's more snow up the west arm, but overall, we had a really great trip. So 9 students, 2 faculty, me and Kevin Krein, and we were really, really taken care of in Gustavus. That's an amazing community. One of our students, her parents live in Gustavus, so we stayed with them. And yeah, it was a really, really nice Southeast expedition, putting a lot of different things together. And for many of our students, it was the first multi-day, multi-week expedition they'd been on. And so that was pretty powerful to be part of.
So, you know, some people might ask, well, why is this a course? You know, this sounds more like a great vacation, but what makes it different than that?
Well, so we're housed in the humanities department, and think of ourselves, imagine ourselves as an environmental humanities program. And so I guess there's a lot of room to think of outdoor recreation as vacation-like in a very practical response to your question. Many of our students go on and use these skills in outdoor recreation, specifically in Southeast Alaska and ecotourism. And so that's a really nice link or pathway. Students can do our certificate and then get jobs in summer tourism and go on and in some cases make careers out of those jobs. But I think too that as a inquiry or form of study, outdoor studies and the humanities in general really best suited at the university, like in the contemporary university, to ask questions about self in relation to society, to ask questions about the pandemic or about climate change or about environmental precarity in relation to existential risks. And so participating in a multi-month program that's a cohort model really does build a sense of interdependence between people and then also in the power of people to make actionable change. I think there's a lot of real concern and emotions right now about apathy and political paralysis and an inability to actually make change in the world or affect reality in a positive way for an individual, for a group. And so thinking about outdoor studies as an academic program, we really focus a lot on, those questions of self and society. And also, I suppose, in the nature of reality. Why are we here? And how do we work together? And so that's a long-winded answer to your question.
Well, maybe you could give us a few specifics of things that people have to learn. For example, do you spend time teaching them outdoor safety, survival skills, the kind of things that they would need to have if they work, for example, in an eco-tour operation?
Sure, yeah. We do break our program up into different classes, but each student is taking a major requirement and then ending with a certificate or a 4-year degree. And so the leadership cohort is part of an introduction to leadership and outdoor studies class that thinks about operational risk management, thinks about group dynamics, thinks about environmental ethics, and also thinks about, you know, those self versus society questions that then lend themselves well to specific hard skills like sea kayaking. So operational risk management wise, if you tip over in a kayak, what do you do? So we practice rescues. Additionally, students take a wilderness first responder course. A lot of it, these specific skills classes are really tailored toward that idea of time on task, getting some time in a sea kayak, flipping it over, managing that, thinking about what piece of equipment makes that activity safe. So for example, sea kayaking for us, it's really a dry suit. There are industry standards. If you're rock climbing, it's a helmet, it's a rope, it's a harness, it's equipment that's regularly maintained. And it's also that training to be able to use the equipment, to be able to assess whether you and your partner have the same set of skills. Like in a backcountry skiing environment, it's that same kind of list of avalanche companion rescue equipment. So beacon, shovel, probe, the ability to use those tools, and it's companion rescue. So you need a companion, having someone with the same training, and then also same motivation. So we teach a number of different paddling and climbing and seasonally specific classes, skiing, mountaineering, etc., but they all end in an expedition, and so we try and do a paddling expedition and then a Juneau ice field expedition, and so for students that want both of those really specific to Southeast type venues, the mountains and the ocean, they can take multiple capstones, multiple expeditions for credit.
So let me ask you this, because the leadership aspect of this is really interesting, because when people go out in the wilderness in Alaska, you never know. Things happen that are unexpected, weather, wild animals, bears, who knows what can happen. And you never know who in your group will wind up being a leader, do you? And you want people to know what kind of leadership skills you need to have to get out of a pinch in the outdoors.
Yeah, I think if I understand your question, it comes down to composure and then also time in high consequence environments where things have gone well and they've also gone poorly. And it's hard to know how a person responds to that type of emergency situation. And I think the emergency services probably have a better handle on who exactly they're looking for, to work on an ambulance, for example, or to be a flight paramedic. But yeah, even with all the right training, it's another time on task thing. When dealing with an emergency, the main thing is to stay calm, maintain composure, and surround yourself with people that have the skills and the training to manage, you know, high consequence environments. And they're all over in Southeast Alaska. I feel like I say that every time I speak on the program, but the water, the mountains, even in the forest, there's all kinds of potential because of where we are on the planet geographically, the high latitude, region specific Southeast Alaska stuff, the big animals, the potential for hypothermia in all seasons. And it's really as simple as, yeah, kind of stepping back from whatever it is you imagine you need to do, and then also finding someone that you trust and enjoy spending time with. And yeah, we really do emphasize the buddy system, which is of course not the image of the iconic wilderness person by themselves on top of the mountain, but the probability of recovering from a negative outcome with a few other folks around is much higher than when one is by oneself.
Well, you know, you're not very far in your boating excursion in Naknek for commercial fishing. You're not very far from one of the quintessential outdoorsmen, Dick Prenicky, who lived alone out at Twin Lakes by himself in the wilderness for many, many, many years. And of course, he got into some tight spots and only had himself to pull out of a tough situation. So yes, the buddy system is really important. But you know, what do you think about people that aspire to the Dick Prenicke ethic of "I can go it alone"? It'll prove that I'm a true outdoors person.
I'm all for it. I'm merely saying in a professional context that the solo journey is just not as risk management oriented. I do a lot of things by myself, Rhonda, and I'm glad that you brought up Dick Prenicke. But talking about operational risk management and having a companion and feeling like you and that person have a similar motivation, that goes a long way to your question of managing emergencies.
So what kind of careers do you think that your students are going to be able to get? I mean, what have you seen so far from your students?
Well, we are placing students in competitive internships in specialty niche tourism. And so the Alaska Mountaineering School, for example, in Talkeetna, it has the concession of guide on Denali. And we've been placing students with the Mountaineering School for probably close to 10 years. We've sent a few students to the Avalanche School, the Alaska Avalanche School, which is one of six in the country that is accredited by the American Avalanche Association to work as interns. But those internships often are really direct pathways to employment or an internship that relates to their interests. We also have a lot of students that end up working for public land management, whether at municipal or state or federal levels. And then there's a whole nother group of students that is pursuing this training because they want a four-year degree and they also want skills specific to their aspirations on a personal level in outdoor recreation, whether they want to be climbers or skiers or sea kayakers or whatever the case may be. And so those students often go on, and we have students that are working attorneys. We have students that are flight paramedics. We have students really across the spectrum. This is my 17th year doing this, so I've seen a lot of professional careers come after outdoor studies training, and I think ideally add to whatever it is a person is hoping to get out of their life. But in the short term, our programming leads to to seasonal work in a variety of environmental and outdoor industries, whether it's for land agencies or tourism or in an education context. I brought up the Avalanche School, but also we, before Crossings closed, we had placed a few students at ecotherapy organization in Wrangell Crossings, working as safety guides for their therapeutic wilderness expeditions. So we're small enough that we're able to kind of tailor it to what an individual wants and then work with those folks and try and get them what their aspiration is.
I would imagine too that per capita, if you look at this community, probably in part because of this UAS program and some of the others that live here, that per capita we've got a pretty outdoor savvy community compared to others. What do you think?
Oh, I agree completely. Yeah, I feel like that's a really accurate statement, and that people in Alaska and people in Southeast Alaska especially are really dialed and really savvy. And one of the really fun things about our programming is that we are open enrollment institution, and regularly community members come and take hard skill specific classes. And that for me is really valuable. It feels like a public service and also a wonderful networking community for like-minded people that enjoy being outside and I think Juneau in particular, there's just a lot of energy to get into the mountains or get out on the water, and that people in general take the safety side of that really seriously. And it's nice to be part of that community, because obviously there are near misses, and then there are misses, and there's just real consequence in the outdoors.
Well, we're going to have to go in a moment here, but before we go, if people have heard what you've talked about, think that they might want to enroll in your program for the coming academic year, what do you recommend?
Well, probably the easiest thing is just to sign up for a class at uas.alaska.edu/schedule/. We have our fall classes up now. Similarly, they could reach out to me by phone, 907-796-6361, or by email, fjwagner@alaska.edu. And the application process to actually do one of our degrees is fairly straightforward. We're just looking for a cover letter that's, you know, basically thinking through why you, the applicant, is interested in outdoor studies, a CV, a curriculum vitae specific to outdoor related experiences and skills, a couple references, transcript. And we normally work with 10 to 12 people over the course of a fall spring cohort. So we have a pretty robust group coming in, but applications are rolling and we'd love to work with folks. So thank you very much, Rhonda. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed hearing about your expedition and also just some of the other finer points of your program. Thank you for taking time out to tell us about things and also give us a window into UAS's outdoor studies program, how unique it is. So thank you, Forrest.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, thank you very much.
And that's Forrest Wagner. He is the Assistant Professor of Outdoor Studies, and he's also Chair of the Humanities Department at UAS.